truth is, you can have works without faith, in spite of what John and James is trying to say. You can't have faith without works. Anymore, you can push a car, get on a freeway and push a Porsche. But you get in that car with the motor going and the accelerator down, you can't stand still on the freeway. The simple axiomatic fact is that if you get faith going, God promises he puts his spirit, his life in you. And his spirit and his life in you affects you. And the fruit of the spirit is recognizable. Some people who think that I don't argue that a change occurs in a man's life when he becomes a Christian distort me as much as James is distorting the way of faith. Faith is an action based upon a promise of God, not an action based upon legal conformity. Faith is not trying to see what I can do that will make me godlike. Faith is an action that says God has promised something. Circumstances contradict it. God said it, wherever it's settled in heaven, I'm going to start acting as though what God said is true. And lo and behold, the promise is God's spirit comes in you, and his spirit does the conforming to whatever God's standard is. New life reproduces behavior in you that you're not even working to accomplish. Then you have a choice. The problem with most Christians is they're asked to put off the old man and put on the new man in theory. It's like being told to get out of a Model T and drive a Maserati you've never seen. I mean, you know, if you are in an open-top convertible side-by-side with an expert driver, and one is a 1929 dumpy old model Ford, and the other one is a convertible Mercedes brand new, which one do you want to ride in? Man, the choice is easy. I'm kicking that Model T, and it can run by itself. I'm settling into that bucket seat, and me and the Mercedes are down the road. The problem with Christianity that is enculturated, and the Christian American Christianity, is we learn the work. We're stamped on us, beat on us, hit on us, stomped on us, and we're told that faith is the... do the works. Prove to your neighbor Christian, I got faith because I bob my hair. Lost New Testament reality. Heathen. Paul says, if such were some of you, put off the old man, put on the new. And he says that to people that already have the new life of the Spirit in them. You can't put on something that hasn't arrived. And you can't put on the new life until you've tasted and seen the Lord is good. I got thousands of people that listen to me, never thought they'd ever be a Christian. Never dreamed their life would change. They just listened and something made sense, and they hung on and they started practicing faith, and lo and behold, their desires have started to change. They called me up and they found me. I never jumped on them. They didn't have to change to come to my church. All I had to do was have respect for God's word and start hanging their body on it. There's a difference between a promise and a rule. There's a big difference between thou shalt not and thou shalt, and realizing God said the Lord will provide. Realizing that God said, him that cometh unto me, I'll in no wise cast out. Realizing that God said, I'm the Lord that healeth thee. Realizing that the Lord said, I'm the shepherd, and when you're anxious and don't know where to go, you say, God, lead me, and I'm going to act as though you are leading me. And if I'm a mess, it's your mess. We'll work our way through it. Promise action. To die hanging on to that, you're meant to see the results. Faith grabs a promise. And I'm going to act like God's going to do what he said. I'm going to hang my body on it. Keep my grip. or die in the process,
we'll talk it over there.
That's what the church began to lose in the second and third and fourth century. They started making Christianity dependent upon your refinement of these ideas about eternal nature. You're as blind as those guys bumping into the elephant. But you can understand that God has intruded into history and has brought his glory from the mystery of time and named the indwelt Christ, the name Joshua, which means Jehovah our helper. He came to seek and to save that which is lost and to bring life eternal to those who would trust him. But James says, show me your works. Show me your faith, and I'll see your works. I'll prove my faith by my works. That's why he died poor. Probably why he didn't get out of prison. Thou believest that there's one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe in trouble. But thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. We both know that. You can't have faith without works. Because faith brings the worker. You can't be around radiation without it affecting you. You can't have God's life in you without it affecting you. If you don't want to be changed, don't become a Christian. But don't think you have to change to become a Christian. That's where I quarrel with James's approach. You don't start with the works, you start with the faith. God does the works. And when you start with the works, Satan's trapped you, you'll never get to faith.
Oh,
yeah. I prove my faith. I don't cut my hair, and I don't take a bath. And I got knees like a camel. I'm staying on them so long. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Not if you know your Bible, Brother James. Sorry. Because Abram said to those servants at the bottom of the hill, we go up the hill to make a sacrifice, and we will return. Abram's faith incorporated the right works, because Abram's faith was action based upon a promise of God, and God had said, and he did not fail and stumble and quit. He had his committee meetings and his experiments. But eventually he accepted the fact that God had promised a seed through him and Sarah, from which would come descendants like the stars of the heaven, the sand of the sea. Now he had stumbled and doubted, and famine had driven him down to Egypt, and he had lied about his wife, and he had tried to provide through his own strength. James would have gone to the tent. The real works that Abram did to prove his faith was when he and Sarah had a committee meeting and decided that they would get the seed through Hagar. That's human works. That effort to accomplish the purpose rather than leaning hard on God's promise. When he took Isaac up the hill, God, who had seen Abram stumble and was making him grow into the father of faith, was finally going to see if the man who laughed when he said, you and Sarah are going to have the child, and they were too old to have it. Well, when they were older now, and having given him the seed, he said, go up this hill and sacrifice him. Abram didn't sacrifice him with the expectancy that he'd lose the seed. He sacrificed him with the certainty now of proven years of trusting God. And God would keep his word, and through this son that God had said would be the promised seed, would raise a knife and kill him. But by some miracle of God, resurrection or otherwise, he and Isaac would come back down that hill, and we will return.
James needs to study his Bible a little better.
See, is not our faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? Yes. The action of continuing to believe God despite circumstance and act on a promise of God with faith. The scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God and was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. That's exactly what the scripture says. Abraham praised God. You see, James didn't know what the word pisteo meant. He acted on God's promises, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith alone. If he understood the word to fail, he's saying the same thing. To him, faith is belief. When you add the action, to him that's works. I've been teaching that for years. You may have belief, but you don't have to stay on the testament of faith until you're acting on the promise. Therefore, the full pisteo, action based upon belief, sustained and continued because of confidence, that was imputed unto him for righteousness. And a man is held with faith like God, not by belief alone, I agree with him, but by faith alone. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? Now, was she was examined? What Paul James had done is paint himself in the corner. She was justified by lying. She was justified by lying. She said they went that away. When they went that away. And James is calling that the works. The justified her. They'll be stoned in the station tomorrow. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? Yes, sir. She didn't just have faith according to James. She worked. She lied. A whore redeemed by lying. Well, James didn't know what he was getting into, did he? Now, what did she really do? Which encompassed her lie. She hid him. She lied. She hung a scarlet cord out the window. All actions based upon belief. That the word from God's representatives that she'd be spared when all else failed. She acted on that belief. And the walls of Jericho fell down, and hers was the only house left standing. I have no quarrel with James when he is seen in the light of the whole New Testament scripture. A man simply didn't understand pisteo any more than the average Christian, Catholic, Protestant, or otherwise understands that faith is not belief in the English language. Paul taught of God, understood, and the Hebrews letter proclaims it. Pisteo, now pistis, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, and nothing other than pistis, because pistis embraces both belief and works, but works focused in on God's faithfulness to his word, not works focused in on self-justifying behavior. The light-year difference between works seeking to self-justify by my performance of righteous deeds
and works that represents the labor to enter into the rest of a promise obtained. The energy of saying, I'll look every circumstance in the face and take God at his word if I die in the effort. That is work.
But what about then the righteous work?
God does that. Because when I work at faith and hang my body on God's promises, God puts me in Christ and puts his spirit in me. Now, listen to the logic.
Go ahead, be your own biblical critic.
Listen to the logic of James.
He doesn't tell the whole story of Abram. He doesn't tell about Abram's faults.
There's not one word here by James.
James is writing to some poor little Hebrew Christians that have heard from Paul.
Writing to the...
James, a servant of God and of the Lord. Look at chapter 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad.
He's writing to Hebrews. He's still a Judaizer.
They have picked up some report of Paul's preaching. Now he is the rhetorical teacher is going to bring them back down. I mean, you know, they might not circumcise themselves. Might take too many baths. Might not be careful what they eat. Better not eat a choked chicken. Stay away from McDonald's.
I'm sorry I said that because I'd forgotten about the massacre. I'd have said McDonald's without the massacre, so I never make jokes about things like that.
But they may not kill the chicken right in some of these McDonald's hamburgers, isn't it?
So I'm okay with choked chicken. Colonel Saunders, that's better. Kentucky Fried. He doesn't tell them. Let's be our own critic.
Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? He doesn't tell you of Abram's failures, does he? The law requires that you be perfect all the time.
He doesn't tell you that the work that Rahab did, look, he's writing this epistle to people that never ever saw the Old Testament. Many of them. They didn't have one available. But if they did, they're going to unroll 20 scrolls and find this verse. He doesn't tell them that Rahab, her works consisted of the lie.
Now be your own critic. Do what I said earlier. Go back to the councils and decide,
hey, the Word of God can stand on its own feet. It's self-proclaiming. It's self-convincing. It is never to stand by itself, but the whole Word of God must be scanned. No prophecy of Scripture is a private interpretation. Now, let's turn to Paul's expression and see which one rings with you. Go to Romans 4. Same subject. The one that James is trying to counter. Let's be the jury. Which one is the more convincing? Chapter 4. Let's look at the third chapter. He spent three chapters. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That includes James, my friend, who proves his faith by his works. All have sinned. Verse 20, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. By the law is the knowledge that for Rahab to lie is a sin. By the law is the knowledge that for Abram to lie is a sin. Therefore, we conclude, verse 28, that a man is justified by faith. He knows how the word, he knows its meaning. Without the deeds of the law. Oh, there's work. You labor to enter into that rest. There's work at grabbing hold of God's promise and hanging your body on it. But it is not the work which is synonymous with the deeds of the law. And James is trying to make faith synonymous with belief and work synonymous with the deeds of the law. Paul understands.
understands what faith is and makes the work of thieving, and lets the deeds of the law come through God's spiritual work. Reproduction. We conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. What shall we say then? Verse 1 of chapter 4. Let's see who sounds more accurate in their rendition. That Abraham, our father, is pertaining to the flesh, I found. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory. Which is to say, if James is justified by works, he hath whereof to glory. But not before God. You see, he's past the long hair, the camel mapping knees, to the very self-righteous core of the man. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God. The word derivative of pisteo. Abraham faith God. King James people have put faith in here. Abraham, put believed in. Abraham faith God. See, there's no English word for faith. Trust on the cross. But that's passage. Pisteo is a verb in the Greek. We need to make a word up. To faith. It introduces it into the English vocabulary. Favors, faith in. Abraham faith God. An derivative of the verb pisteo. And it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. James made his best. He's still a Judaizer. He wants to prove his faith by his works. To him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, the Greek has it not at all, but faitheth, literally, on him that justifieth a worker. Who's justified? The ungodly. His faith is counted for righteousness. Now take your choice, friends. You want to go James Way or Paul's way? Which one tells the accurate story? Paul very accurately points out that Abram didn't have anything to boast about at all. And he could equally point out, neither did Rahab. It was a faith in God's promise that caused God to impute to them righteousness. Now, in the New Testament, the promise is even greater than what Abram got. All Abram got was imputation of righteousness from faith. In the New Testament, we not only get the imputation, where God takes us as though we're godly, he puts godliness in us. The Spirit of God, not yet poured out, selectively available in the Old Testament, is now, as Peter says, available to all. God not only imputes to the favor of the New Testament righteousness, he gives it. Existentially, places in him. That's the meaning of the resurrection. You didn't believe Jesus came out of that, through that rock, through that going up to the sky. There's no difficulty in believing the life of God, like that little atomic or nuclear pocket of energy can pedal that great submarine. God's life is placed in us, a dimension beyond Abram's imputation. Isn't it that yet? From the fourth chapter, you'll go through the fifth, sixth, and seventh, and in the seventh, saying, who shall deliver us from the body of this death? I thank my God through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's therefore now no condemnation. Ultimate, katakra, crema is the thing. Ultimate condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Five verses later, he explains how you get in Jesus. Christ, his Spirit, when it's in you, you're in him. Life is put in us. And that's why faith without works is dead and standeth alone. Faith no longer stands alone. Now God does a work of transformation by, as long as you keep the connection of faith, he puts a spirit in you. I don't care what James says or his modern counterparts. He will put his spirit in a crack pot. He'll put it, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. One translation says, cracked pots. God
will put his life in the works of us when we express the least amount of faith. And as long as that faith is being maintained, God's Spirit in us. James was wrong at Antioch. Peter was wrong at Antioch. And they only conceded. They didn't change. If they had changed, they would have thrown up their hands and said, not only, Paul, do we want this freedom to the Gentiles, please help us to bring the Jews also into this freedom. They made their bed and they lived in their poverty. And if they made it in with the skin of the teeth, I guess they weren't happy. Well, you can live with James if you want, my friend. He didn't make it into the canon until the 3rd century. God called Paul and taught him in the desert for 3 years. While James, traveling with Jesus for 3 years, never ever learned. You see, the Bible didn't drop on Mount Sinai. The Bible was the result of a tug-of-war of men of God trying to stamp their beliefs and their views onto the New Testament church. Thanks be to God, he reached down, grabbed Paul, and taught him in the desert, and at least the Gentile church knows who their pastor, original pastor, the chief shepherd, is. Paul. Now go to bed with James tonight for the result and the freedom we have in Christ. And don't anybody call me up and say, oh, destroyed the Word of God. I'm doing anything the Word of God, just by James and his proper perspective. Are there any friends out there?
Straight off of a festival 2 years ago, 3rd of January, 1988. I sat down and said, you can take your time finishing your calls, but then don't take any more. I said, go to Exodus 23:10. 6 years thou shalt sow